On the 9th of September, I preached a sermon on encouragement to pray. And really what got me on that was, one day I got to wondering about, you know, Great Chapel does a lot of praying. So I just wonder how many people really enter into it. Not fussing anybody, but I know we all have to be stirred up. We have a lot of praying. We have bathing people in prayer, prayer and fasting days, and all kinds of stuff like that. And it can just to be kind of just form. So I was going to preach a sermon on how serious are you about prayer? We got bigger than that as I began to study. So I preached a sermon on encouragement to pray. Tonight I want to preach on exhortation to pray. And then later on I'll talk about instruction to pray. And then some examples of prayer that have really been on my heart lately. So I hope that your prayer life, I don't know whether your prayer life has improved or not since September the 15th. I hope it has. If not, I hope it will improve. I was kind of encouraged one time by reading a Puritan writer. He said, you know, when you have no rain for a while, and you got a bunch of real hard clods, and a rain comes, and it doesn't have much effect on those old clods, they're still pretty hard. But then it rained again, and again and again, finally, the little clods get softened up. That's the way preaching is. It seems like sometimes, like maybe, now I'm not saying you're a clod, but it seems like sometimes, you know, that the preacher can get discouraged that nothing's happening, but we got to keep on preaching. So I really do hope and pray that your prayer life will improve. I'm not going to preach a fancy sermon tonight, but I hope it will be effective, and I hope that it will improve your prayer life. I'm going to read you a statement that a man named Jim Turner, who's gone to be the Lord now, I love Jim Turner. He's just a simple guy, a preacher from Little Rock, Arkansas. I don't know who all knew him, but he's just a really sweet guy. In fact, I was with him the last time probably when Brother Oakley died, and Jack Johnson and Billy Lawrence and Jim Turner and myself preached at a funeral. It was a real sweet time. So I happened to read a church paper this week, and Jim Turner had a statement in there. Let me read it to you. Prayer and the privilege of approaching the throne of God's rich grace and mercy, the most powerful weapon that poor mortal man possesses. Let's be careful to use it every day. Isn't that a great statement? And then right before church, I'm always looking for evidence that the Lord's in the matter about what I'm going to preach about, and sometimes have pretty good evidence. Well, it just so happens that Ryan Poe sent something to Isaac and me and maybe some other people. So I'll read this to you. And I said, man, that's good. I'm glad it happened right when it did. So he's talking about stirring us up to pray. So let me read you what he wrote. I forgot which one of the Puritans wrote this. You remember Isaac who it was? One of the Puritans wrote this. I have read of one who, being sensible of his own dullness and coldness in prayer, chided himself. Thus, what dost thou think that Jonah prayed thus when he was in the belly of hell? You know, he was really doing some praying, wasn't he? Or Daniel when he was in the lion's den? Or the thief when he was upon the cross? I may add, or the three children when they were in the fiery furnace? Or the apostles when they were in bonds and prisons? Oh, that Christians would chide themselves out of their cold prayers and chide themselves to a better, a warmer frame of spirit, where they made their supplication before the Lord. An importunate, that means one who's insistent, soul in prayer is like the poor beggar that prays and knocks, that prays and waits, that prays and works, that knocks and nips, that begs and patches, and will not stir from the door till he hath an alms. And verily, he that is good at this will not be long a beggar in grace. God will make his heart his cup to overflow. So I really like that a lot. And we would be praying hard if we were in a situation like that. Before I read some scripture, all I'm going to do is read some scripture tonight and comment on them. No big fancy sermon, but I hope it will work. And my subject is exhortation to pray. Of course, the Bible is full of that. We could go to hundreds of scripture, we know that, but I won't go to hundreds of them. But I love a song in the number, the PBH. It's about the armor of God, and I love this expression. Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. I like that, don't you? When we know we're helpless, we know how to pray. Most of us are not helpless most of the time. We want to be helpless, but we're really not. We still depend on ourselves too much. So let me say, I think that people pray a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. When we know we got to depend on God, we know how to really pray. So let's just look at some few scriptures. And it won't be real long, so I hope you'll pay attention. Maybe write some of them down. My prayer is this will help you to improve your prayer life. Exhortation to pray is my subject. I want to read one from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It seems unrealistic, but it's not if we explain it. I don't want anything to be unrealistic. You know, we can overstate cases, just like we can understate cases. But he simply says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, by the way, someday I'd like to preach a few sermons out of 1 Thessalonians. Leroy Rhodes called this God's checklist. A lot of the short exhortations, God's checklist. You might want to check God's checklist. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, things like that. So sometime maybe we'll have a sermon on God's checklist. But here's one check we're going to check off now. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What do we do? Old Harris can't work at work because he's praying. He's supposed to be working, but he's over there praying. Jeff Harris fall off a ladder because he's praying. Pray without ceasing, but it still said it, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you a little bit about that. I'm going to tell you one of my experiences, and then I'm going to read you what John Gill said about it. We do have Satan to prayer, and the last real Satan I had when I went to Nicaragua was Timothy. And it's a wonderful time because I knew I couldn't speak Spanish. Even though I called Judy mi bonita, my little beauty. I know that much Spanish. But I don't speak Spanish, so I knew I was helpless. So before I went, I said, God, I can't talk to them, but I can talk to you. So while Timothy was preaching, I was praying harder than usual. And the whole time, every conversation, I just made myself pray. And after, sometimes I had to make myself, sometimes it was just the spirit prayer, but I worked at prayer, and it was a wonderful experience. I can't do that all the time, I know that, but it was a good time. So you may have some good time like that also. It's just a really, really, really good, and we had some great things that happened too that just blew our minds out of the water. We could not believe how some of these men were doing things we didn't know they'd ever do. And we got to baptize three of them in the Pacific Ocean. And that was an amazing thing to me. I won't tell you about the whole story. I've told some of it anyway. But we were just kind of all. Timothy will tell you that. We were just kind of, we felt like we were in a cocoon of grace. The way these guys were making up their mind to do some things. And just, we weren't trying to push them into anything. But and I don't know what God's going to do there. But it's a wonderful time. But pray without ceasing. That's what John Gill said about it. The meaning is that believers should be daily and often found in the performance of this duty. We ought to be often, every day, in this duty. Not that we're praying every second. For as their wants daily return upon them, and their call to fresh service and further trials and exercise, they have need of more grace, strength, and assistance, and therefore should daily pray for it, and besides certain times, both in the closet, that's in our private prayers, and the family. I hope you're doing family prayers. If you're not, I want to exhort you to do that. Sometimes it's kind of easy to let family prayers go. But you parents are going to look back on the time you prayed with your family. Those are precious times. We did a lot of that. I wish we'd done even more. Sometimes you get so busy, you just won't do it. Well, we won't leave it off. We'll do it tomorrow. Don't do that. Pray. You have no idea how you're setting a good example for your children and praying to your families. So he said that... in the closet and the family in which they should attend the throne of grace. There's such a thing as mental prayer. We're not talking out loud. We're just praying mentally. Praying in the heart. Prior to ejaculation of the soul. Maybe an heir set to heaven. It's a good way to say that. Which may be sent up to heaven while a man is engaged in the affairs of life. Even when you're at work, sometimes you just pray. And I love what Nehemiah did over there. I won't go to Nehemiah chapter 1, but you know, he had the king's presence, and all of a sudden he prayed because he sensed he was going to get to go back and help rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So, and he was a praying man, but he just kind of sent an heir to heaven. So sometimes you might just send some heirs to heaven. All right, so that's one scripture. Pray without ceasing. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. And sometimes you need more in an attitude than you will other times. Now, let's read another one. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. I'm just going to read a few scriptures and comment on all I'm going to do tonight. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all pray also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Continue, that word continue means to endure. That's what it means in the Greek. And watch means to be vigilant. So endure and be vigilant in prayer. And we're also doing this with thanksgiving. And I love this. Now, I know every word in the Bible is important, even the passives and the actives. So I don't know about you when I memorize this. I'm glad it says a door will be opened. It does say a door will be opened sometimes. This time it said God's going to open a door. It's an active. I can just see God opening the door up in my mind's eye. You know, it's kind of, it meant more to me being active, it would have been passive. I know that passive is good too. God opened a door of utterance. And God does that. We wouldn't be Brother Gunnum that was here. If God had opened up his heart, we wouldn't even have him here at all. God could open up doors, doesn't he? And in our own congregation, God could open up doors of prayer. Now, let me tell you this. I've got to really be honest about this. I do get weary praying sometimes because I wonder if it's really, the devil said, you know, you do all this praying, you're just going through the form. This is kind of silly, this bathing people in prayer all the time. You've been doing it for years. And I call people and tell them we're doing that. Most of them appreciate it. Or we have this prayer and fasting day. That's just kind of a routine. The devil tell me that. The devil a liar. He's a liar. We never waste our time when we're praying to God Almighty. He always hears that his ears are open to our cries. It says that in Psalm 34, doesn't it? So just don't get tired of praying. And we may not always feel like it. In fact, I remember one time, I think it was Peter Masters who pastored, I think he pastored over there at Spurgeon's Church now, I believe. He'd been there a long time. I heard him give a exhortation on praying one time. And here's what he said. This is a good word picture. He said, I decided to do some extra praying. I decided to start getting up early in the morning and praying. Had a special amount of prayer. He said, for 2 weeks, me and Will prayed. He meant his will. He said, hallelujah. He said, one day emotion joined us. So you can get that, can't you? He prayed and God hearing those prayers. But then every now and then, God blessed him to feel the spirit of prayer. That's a wonderful thing. So when you don't even feel it, do it anyway. God's hearing those prayers. So, and I love this here. One of the Puritans said this, we need enlargement of heart and liberty of mind. Isn't that good? Enlargement of heart and liberty of mind. God, give me this enlargement of heart. Sometimes I want to pray. I just have the spirit of prayer that comes to me. Enlargement of heart, liberty of mind. And you'll have that sometimes God will bless us. All right. Let's go to another scripture. Just a few scriptures here. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. One of the most concentrated passages of scripture on prayer. This is just wonderful. And I'm going to mention something. I'm going to read it to you first, then I want to give a couple other scriptures to illustrate it a little bit. Praying always. Now, this is just powerful. Let's get a hold of this. This is some really concentrated language. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read another verse, too, but I want to read that verse again. We're really praying for each other, powerfully. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now let's keep going. You need to really be praying for your preachers. Pray for your preachers. And for me, he said, that utterance may be given unto me, I may open my mouth boldly to tell you the mystery of the gospel. I believe you do pray for us, but pray even harder. Pray even harder. We can't preach unless we have the Spirit. We might go through the motions, do the best we can, but unless the Spirit's there, it's pretty dry. So I do believe you do that. Also pray that God give us the material to preach on. Just pray for us all the time. See, he I'll read the whole thing to you again, but he emphasized it, pray for preachers. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that there I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We ought to speak boldly. You ought to say, God bless Brother Zach to preach stuff he might not even want to preach, if it's good for us. So I confess, sometimes we fear the faces of men. We should not do that. Sometimes we might hold back. I wish God would make me preach what he wants me to preach, even if I was kind of, you know what I mean? This boldness, that everything needs to be said, we all want to say that. So pray that, if you will. Now, on that spirit, I love that spirit business. Let's read a couple of scriptures on that. Turn to Romans 8, because the Holy Ghost helps us pray. He helps us pray. You know, we can't imagine how much he does help us pray. But let's look over Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. See, praying always, he says, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. So Romans 8, 26 and 27, this is great. Paul had to have the help of the Holy Spirit just like we do. He was a great man of God. He was an apostle. He had to have the help of the Holy Spirit to really pray. He acknowledged that over in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. So ask God to help you do it. Let's read those two verses. Verse 26 and 27 here, Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, and these are prayer infirmities. He's going to specify them. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't. The last time that really hit me hard was I was down in Georgia talking to Brother Carter, and he had lost a wife by cancer. He said when she had the cancer, he said, I didn't even know how to pray. He said, I prayed all the time, but I said, God, should I pray that she be healed? Should I pray because she needed to go be a few in a way? In other words, he didn't know how to pray exactly. He was praying all the time. He needed wisdom on how to pray. We all need wisdom, don't we, on how to pray? So he said, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, or himself really, maketh intercession for us. This is amazing. I don't really totally understand this verse. We're doing the praying. The Spirit's helping us pray. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, get there with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, I know most of you, maybe all of you, hope you have that experience. You're just groaning inside. Sometimes you don't even articulate your prayers. You're groaning. You may hear somebody who's in trouble, and you, oh, Lord, help them. You know, oh, Father, help them. Somebody who'd gone off the deep end and made a big mistake. Oh, Father, would you please recover them? And sometimes just cry. I heard about somebody not long ago that had gotten in a mess, and I cried out loud. Timothy told me about somebody who had gotten in real trouble. I just began to weep, and I'm glad I did. So the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and the He that searcheth the hearts, that's God, knoweth what's the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes we're doing our best prayer, probably. We don't even really articulate it. We're praying according to God's will. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And then another scripture on that is over in Jude. I love the scripture so much. Let me comment on that a little bit. Jude 20, just one chapter in Jude. So this really stuck out to me when I did memorize Jude. It really stuck out to me. This is a powerful verse, verse 20. Powerful verse. But ye also, beloved, I'm going to mention several things here. I'm not really going on a rabbit trail. It's all going to be together. There's four or five things here. When you memorize scriptures and consider every word and every clause, it's amazing what you can find out. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's number one. I believe he's talking about reading the Bible here. Because he uses the word faith here in Jude 3, the faith was delivered to the saints. Sometimes faith is a grace that God gives you in regeneration. Sometimes it means the body of truth. I think here he's talking about the body of truth, because he used that way in verse 3. Right. All right, thank you. I believe that. So we're reading our Bible. We're building ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, which that's what I'm talking about. Then when we do that, keep yourselves in the love of God. That in a mental way, because we know God loves us. We're concentrating on the fact that God loves us. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into your eternal life. We're looking for the mercy of God. Now, I read this for a reason. Because when we're in this kind of condition, we're going to be able to help people. And I go down to verse 21. So I want to help people. Well, let's get verse 21. If I get myself in this kind of condition, I'll be able to help people. Let's look at that again. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, I'm close to God reading my Bible, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm keeping myself consciously in the love of God, I'm looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And then what am I doing? Let's look at these next two verses. And if some have compassion, making a difference. I'm helping some child of God that's a tender-hearted individual. I'm having compassion. And others, save with fear, putting it out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Here's somebody who thinks to make shipwreck of the faith, and I've got to go in there and grab a hold of them and pull them out of the fire. Isn't that amazing? See, I'm helping two kinds of people here. Some of them have compassion, making a difference. Others, save with fear. Put the fear of God in them. Tell them what they're doing that's wrong. Call them to repent. But we can't do any of that unless we get in the shape of 20. Building ourselves on our most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost, keeping the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life, and then we'll be able to help folks. But we're praying the Holy Ghost, all right? Now, let's just a few more scriptures I'll be through. Look over in Matthew 9:38. We need this desperately today. We need this desperately. I'll read you a few scriptures to back this up. We need preachers, folks, bad, very badly. We got a lot of churches that don't have ministers, a lot of them. A lot of Baptist churches don't have preachers. We got a real drought. As you know, Nathan is going too many places. He doesn't even want to go all the places he's going to, but he needed so badly. We want him to stay home more. He wants to stay home more. Like I understand, it's a need out there. So here's what we need to be doing. Let's look at Matthew 9:38. And Jesus Christ said that he looked up with compassion on the multitude, their sheep having no shepherd. So he said in Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he sent forth laborers to his harvest. I want you to pray that. I want you to pray that. Every day I want you to pray that. Lord, send laborers to the harvest. Because you know what? When God, we old Baptists believe in a God called ministry. We're not the only people that believe that. Other people believe it too. Not everybody believes it. Some people think you can crank out people in a seminary. You can't really do that. You can learn some things that are good in a seminary, but if a man's not called, a seminary can't call him to preach. So I'm going to show you where preachers come from. Let's look over in Ephesians. It's pretty awesome, really, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at this. This is really pretty awesome. I know I overstated the case because I have Bible on my side. Okay, this is Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verse 8 through 13. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Talk about the ascended Christ. The ascended Christ is giving gifts to men. The one who's at God's right hand right now. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So the ascended Christ we're talking about. And he gave some apostles. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some pastors and teachers. That's well off as pastor and teacher right there. Isn't that amazing? If there's really a God called ministry, a God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the ascended Christ, called that man to preach and gave him a gift to preach. We believe that. We believe that. Now, what's he give these gifts for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, what he means there is he's perfecting the saints that they do the work of ministry. This word ministry here is not talking about a technical word for preaching. It means service. So our job is to affect you that you can serve each other. That's what he's talking about. And we got a lot of that at Grace Chapel. I'd like to have even more. The preacher doesn't do all the work, but he's supposed to be training people. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, the edifying, building up the body of Christ, the church builds itself up. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, that's a mature man, to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I'll quit there. I could keep going. But that's awesome, isn't it? So I'll ask you to please pray for God to raise up laborers to the harvest. And then, here's the kind of men we need. Jeremiah says this. I'll just tell you where it is. In Jeremiah 3:15, I'm going to send a pastor. Well, let me just read it. I might mess it up. Let me read it. What kind of men do we want? One of these days I'm going to do something I think will be a blessing to you. I'm going to read you one of these days, maybe on a Wednesday night, a transcript of the charge that Hassel Wallace gave me when I was ordained. Bobby Poe and Jan Rushing and myself were ordained April 9th, 1967. And Brother Hassel Wallace was a great man of God, my father in ministry. I've got a picture of him in my office, real stern, watching me pretty close even now. And he charged me, and I thank God before I lost the tape, I typed the sermon out. You wouldn't believe it. It was wonderful. He said, listen, you got to please the Lord. You don't please men. He didn't say be arrogant. He said, you're going to give an account for your ministry someday. Isn't it good to have an honest father ministry like that? You remember him, don't you? I guess you do, Catherine. He's a powerhouse. He's totally honest. Never one time asked us to do anything political or any kind of shenanigans. And guess whatever? I have another blessing. This is really a blessing. Sister Wallace was on her deathbed. And so I wasn't going to go down there. I said, well, she won't know me anyway, but my dear wife, bless her heart, she's like, get on down there, Zach. You know what may happen. So thank God for my little Judy. And I took me down there. And I walked in there, and she had a good day. And I'm telling you, she's like an Old Testament prophet. When I walked in the room, remember that, Idie? I wish I had a phone to record it. I walked in, and she gave me a charger like her husband did. She said, don't you please men. Don't you try to please men. You preach the word of God. You don't worry about what men think. You're going to get a counsel of God someday. Preach a charger like her husband did. And she wasn't that kind of woman. She was a real quiet woman. So we did those kind of men. And here's what Jeremiah says. And we pray for individuals over in the Jeremiah 3:15. Here's what you want. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the kind of men we want, isn't it? And also, another scripture over in 1 Corinthians 4:15. Here's another one. I want you to pray for ministers, the right kind to be raised up. We got some good men. I'm encouraged by good men that God is raising up. We need a lot more of them. But over in 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He said preachers are a dime a dozen. An instructor in Christ is a dime a dozen. What we need is fathers. They got a heart for God's people. That's what we need, isn't it? We need fathers that will get us through the gospel. Not just an instructor in Christ. Not just somebody that gets up there and teaches a lesson and that's it. Somebody who loves God's people. And they want them to follow God's word for the glory of God. All right. Two or three more, I'll be through. Look in Matthew 17, 21. This is not talking about anything specific, but there are times when we have really, really hard needs. Really hard needs. Maybe some crisis we're going through. So I think this principle is true here. What happened, these individuals had some demons in them. They could not cast the demons out. They said, Lord, why can't we cast these demons out? So I give you this one verse, and that's why I like to have days of fasting and prayer. It's over in Matthew 17, 21. This is a word of our Savior. Howbeit this kind, he means these real hard demons, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The principle is a good one, isn't it? It's a good principle. I'm not saying go out casting out demons. I think God could do it if he wants to. But the main thing I want to get is this kind, some difficult problem, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And I'm glad, my friend, in our history of our people, we've done a lot of fasting and praying. I don't know how many of you have Hassel's history. You ought to all have it. If you don't have one, tell me. I'll tell you how to get one. You ought to all have one in your library. And you ought to look in the index of that thing. In Hassel's history, many times that Kahuki Association, which is mainly about the Kahuki Association, called for days of fasting and prayer for a revival of religion. Year after year after year, set aside 30 of November the 3rd or something like that, fasting and prayer, our forefathers did. And then every now and then God would pour out blessings and they'd have an ingathering of people. And they thought they were cold. And they were so numerous compared to us, we'd think we were warm if we were in their shape. But they, even then, when we're cold, we need to do some fasting and praying. It's in our forefathers' history that they did that. The same with the Philadelphia Association, which is the first association in America. I got the minutes of the Philadelphia Association from 1707 to 1807. My friend, our brethren, many times, went to fasting and prayer. I'm glad you believe in that here at Great Chapel. I hope we believe it even more. Do fasting and prayer. God can do that. Now, let's read two places that I'm just going to read them. I won't be here too much longer. I hope this will have an effect on you. Let's read two places from Luke. Not a lot of comment had to even be made. But you know where I'm going, you Bible readers. I'm going to Luke 11 and Luke 18. Both are powerful scriptures. Luke 11, 1 through 13. Powerful passage. Luke 11, 1 through 13. I will come back to this letter, and one of my sermons, I'm going to give some instructions on prayer. I'm going to give some instructions. I think it would be really valuable to give some instructions on prayer. It came to pass in Luke 11:1 that as he was praying in a certain place, he ceased. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. That's an amazing thing they said. Now, these men prayed a lot, but they were so humble they recognized they heard him pray. Lord, we need to learn how to pray better, and we all need to learn how to pray better. He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, to you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that means he wouldn't be quiet. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If If a son shall ask bread of any of you, as a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Look at verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Isn't that powerful? Let's go to the 18th chapter. I hope you're writing some of these down, making mental notes at least. Chapter 18, let's read a few of these verses. Old Matthew Henry said, this is one parable where God hung the key up at the door. He hung the key up at the door. Tell us why he wrote the parable. And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's the key at the door. Always pray, not to faint. I told you I have fainting spells sometimes. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? Isn't that something? That's a powerful one, isn't it? I'm hitting the top on purpose. I'm not trying to be exhaustive. I'm just hoping you'll get something out of this night, grab something, take home. All right, what about preacher? What about your preacher? What should we be doing? Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Why are the deacons ordained? We got a good deacon at Great Chapel. Why are the deacons ordained? What should we be doing? What should you ask God to help us do? Acts 6, 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to ministry of the word. That's all what we ought to be doing. I'm going to just read 3 or 4 more scriptures and I'll be through. That all these have, that prayer does help. I want you to know prayer helps. Ready? How about 2 Corinthians 1:11? 2 Corinthians 1:11. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks be made, given by many on our behalf. But I want that first clause, ye also, helping together by prayer for us. You're helping when you pray. Philippians 1:19. We used this one time at Bobby Poe with the Philippines. I remember this. Whenever we get this, he asked us to pray this. I know that this is a turn of my salvation. He didn't mean getting saved from hell right there. He meant saved from letting God down. Philippians 1:19. For I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Bobby Poe asked us to pray that. We did. Through your prayer, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6. You know this one very well. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, the request be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, this is probably in time of persecution. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified as it is with you. So the title of my sermon is Exhortation to Pray. I preached you one sermon earlier on the 15th of September on encouragement to pray. I'm calling this Exhortation to Pray. And I hope it'll have an effect. And pray for me because I don't know how long this will go on, but I do have a desire to preach some sermons on how to pray, instruction in prayer, and then some examples of prayer.